hope for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is evidence, confidence, trust, and surety in what you believe. Faith is a spiritual law of God. We speak things in the natural, but we mean them in the faith. When we are born again in the image of God, and the image of God is a spirit. God is a spirit, and his words are life. So therefore, when we speak God's word, we are speaking life into any situation. John 4:24. I'm going to go slower this time so you can turn there. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. When we worship God, we worship him in the spirit. This is why we in the natural, when we are born again, we take on the image of God. We speak his words in the spirit, and they become, because spirit becomes life. John 6:63. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. God's words are life and spirit to us. There is a law of seed time and harvest. That law is in Genesis 8:22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and wisdom, day and night shall not cease. As long as there's the earth, and the earth will remain forever, there will be God's word going forth, and it will accomplish and prosper where he sends it. Now, where do I get faith? Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. You can't ask anybody to pray for you by faith, because when you ask someone to pray for you for their faith, you are asking in error. Faith comes by hearing. The more you hear God's word, the more faith you have. So when you hear yourself speak it over and over again, your faith immediately grows, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. How is faith given? Revelation 10:9-10, and Romans 10:9-10. It is given by words. With the heart, man believes in unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You see, salvation has to be in your heart. So when you start to speak God's word, it comes into your spiritual ears and into your spiritual eyes and drops down into your heart. So the heart is where faith must be. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Your mouth is going to speak whatever you believe. How is faith released? Faith is released by actions. James 2:20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? When you speak in faith, you have to act as if you believe it. And when you don't believe it, the more you speak it, the more you are going to believe it. How is faith developed? Confession brings possession. The more you confess it, the more you will have it. Luke 17:7-10. Luke 17:7-10. But which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him by and by, when he is come from the field, go and sit down and eat, and sit to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird yourself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward you shall eat and drink. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye still have done these things which are commanded you, saying, we are improfitable servants, and we have done that which was our duty to do. Faith is designed to be your servant. So you don't say to your servant, okay, faith, you've accomplished what you've accomplished what I've prayed for. You can go and rest. What you do is you keep faith working and working and working until there is no end. Faith will be your servant, and that's what it means when it says in Genesis 1, Genesis 1:29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. M-E-A-T. That word meat is the same word that Jesus used to the woman of Samaria when she came to, when he offered to get her a drink. But meat means doing the will of God. So what seed did Adam get? Because the seed of everything is in itself. Now, if the seed of the fruit tree is in the fruit, the fruit of the animal is in the animal, the fruit of man is in man, and God said, I'm giving you the herb-bearing seed. What seed did he give him? He gave him faith. Faith is the seed that you are to use as your servant. In Genesis 1, there are four spiritual laws. The one is, God says it, and it is so. The second one is, like produces like kind. The fruit tree will always provide fruit. The third one is, the seed of everything is in itself. And the fourth thing is, natural things follow a spiritual pattern. So whatever you speak in the spirit is going to form the pattern in the natural. Now, if you will notice, God said, how many times did he say, God said? It says that 10 times in Genesis 1. God said, let there be light. God said, the animals come forth. God said it so many times so that we should be able to say it too and accomplish what God's word says. God said in verse 11, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. God spoke his spiritual word, and the fruit tree brought forth fruit. And the earth brought forth grass, an herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. In verse 20, God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly, the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly upon the earth, in the firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, end of verse 24, let the earth bring forth living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things and the beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And then again in God 26, in verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, over the fish of the sea, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. Man is the only creation that God made that can produce two ways. He can produce physically another man, and yet he can produce spiritually by speaking the word of God. So we have God saying to Adam, I've given you every herb that you need. What bag of seed did he give him? He gave him faith to work as his servant. Faith works as your servant. You must work your faith with your actions to have it come what you want, to have it become what you want. Do we all have the spirit, the seed of faith?
Yes.
Romans 12:3, I'm sorry. Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God has given to every individual the same measure of faith. Notice it doesn't say God has given to you a measure of faith. It says the. If it said a measure of faith, he would have given more to one than to another. But God is no respecter of persons. So he gives to each of us the measure of faith. What we do with our faith is accountable for how it grows. If we don't use our faith, it's never going to grow. But if we use our faith, then it will grow as we grow in the things of God. Do we all have the same measure of faith? Yes, we do to begin with. Romans 4:17. As it is written, God said to Abraham, I have made you a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and call those things which be not as though they were. God will always call things the way they were, the way they should be. And that's what we have to do. We don't call things the way they are. You call them the way you want them to be. This was spoken to Abraham 25 years before he had a son. God says, I have made you a father. He made Abraham a father 25 years before Abraham became a father. Why was that? Because Abraham didn't believe God when he told him that I've made you a father. And God said to him, go out and look at the stars. Count the stars in the sky. Count the sand in the sea. That's how many children you will have. And that's when Abraham, within a year later, had his son Isaac. Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. Grace, what is grace? To the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, and to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Why isn't Adam the father of us all? Because he didn't have the faith that Abraham had. Abraham is the father of faith. Abraham is our father in the faith. What is God's grace? It's God's anointing. It's God's abilities. God's capabilities, his equipment, his power, and his anointing. That's what God's grace is. And God's grace is enough for you and I to get anything we need in this world. The word is faith seed. It cannot be corrupted, cannot end, it goes on forever. Where is it? Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Imagine that. Your words, your tongue, will either create life or death. Now, there are different kinds of faith. There's head faith, which is in your mind. You agree with the word. Oh, I believe God's word heals. But does he really heal you? And then there is heart faith. Heart faith is believing with your heart. The difference is we have the Thomas kind of faith, which was given by Thomas, James 2:24-29. It's where you believe with your mind, but you don't really, it doesn't really get down into your heart. Then we have the Abraham kind of faith, which believes with his heart. God said it, I believe it, that's it. It's a done deal. That's the kind of faith that we have to have, the kind of faith that will move mountains, and the kind of faith that God had. You have the God kind of faith, but you have to cultivate it. It has to grow and grow and grow and grow until you finally believe that you have it, and when you believe that you have it, then you can speak it forth and accomplish what you want. Faith, hope, and love. Each one has its perfect place, and one can't substitute for the other. Your faith works by love. God's love. God's love is in your heart. Hope is future. You will never get anything from God more than what your faith is. Your hope is future. Your hope is the highest expectancy of what you believe God for. Hope is like the cake mix on a box. You walk down the grocery aisle and you see the cake mixes on the box and you think to yourself, I'll take that one because if I follow the directions, my cake is going to look exactly like that, and that's what you buy. But you have to do something with that box, don't you? You have to open it, you have to have the oven, you have to have the utensils, and you have to make it. But when you make it following the directions, you do have a cake that looks like that. That's what hope is. Hope is future. Hope is the highest expectancy of your faith. Whatever you believe God for, you will get. But God can't give you more than you believe for. I'd like you to turn to the sower sows the word, Mark 4. This is an important parable. And Jesus gave the parable, and the disciples didn't quite understand it. So Jesus explained to it. Now, I have looked at Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And the same scriptures are basically the same, but they may use a different word. So what I have done is I have taken the scriptures from all of them and condensed them into one. So first of all, I'd like to read Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 3. Hearken, behold, there went a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears, let him hear. When Jesus says that, he means let your spiritual ears be in tune with what God says. So when he was alone, there were about with him the 12, and asked him what the parable meant. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Don't you know what this parable means? If you don't understand this parable, you will not understand any. What is God saying? What is Jesus saying there? He's saying God's word is seed. It always works like seed. A farmer has to do something with the seed. He has to plant it. So then he goes on and he says in verse 14, The sower sows the word. You are a sower. You sow the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately, takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. All of these four people understand, they hear, but they don't understand. Now, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, whom when they have heard the word immediately and receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. But afterwards, when affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake, they immediately are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Now, in this passage are the five major ways that Satan will use to distract you from the word. The first is, everybody heard the word. But those that didn't understand the word, Satan comes immediately and steals that word out of your heart. The second is, they received that around the rocks. They hear the word. They receive the word, and they go out with joy saying, Oh, Pastor, that's just the word I needed to hear. And then what happens? They can hold on for a while, but they don't bother to put the word deep in their heart. They just go with what they've heard. So then, after a while, affliction and persecution comes and steal the word away. They're offended. They get offended, and they lose the word. The third is among thorns. And the thorns, they hear the word, they receive it with joy, they go out, but then we have the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, and the cares of this world steal the word from them. So there you have the five ways. First of all, you have it, they hear the word and they have no root in themselves. Affliction and persecution come. They become offended and they go off on their own. Then the other three ways are the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in, and they are too busy, and those things choke out the word. You must cultivate the word of God that God puts within your spirit. And if you don't cultivate it, nobody can. Each of us is responsible for what we hear. and what we know and what we do with what we know. So how come person one may not have the faith that person number five has? Because person number five went through all this. He went through the lust of other things. He went through the deceitfulness of riches. He went through the affliction and the persecution, and he stood strong. He stayed wrapped up in the word. That's how you will grow. That's how the Lord uses that word to accomplish his purpose in your life. Now we have another parable, Matthew 13:24. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, the enemy came along and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit that appeared, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, Sir, did you not now sow good seed in the field? Where did these tares come from? And he said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servants said unto him, Will you that we go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while ye gather up the tares, you also gather up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares, bind them into bundles, and prepare to cast them into the fire. But gather the wheat into my barn. So what is he saying? When you plant tares among the wheat, tares grow up and look exactly like wheat. You don't know the difference until it's time for the harvest. Then the tares have a different form of a fruit of the vine, of the fruit of the wheat, just as the tares do. So what he is saying is, I will send my angels, and they will gather, and this is the parable in verse 35, that it might be which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. The parables have been spoken and will be kept in secret until the foundations of, we are in the last days. These parables were spoken in the beginning of the world. The foundation is in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. There is a foundation when God builds, and there is a foundation when he caused the world to collapse, the world, the second world that came out. Then Jesus sent the multitude away, and he went into his disciples. His disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, who was Jesus himself. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The good seed are you and I. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. So the angels are going to come. They're going to throw the tares into the fire, and therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So now we have Jesus talking in parables. He always spoke in parables, and he's taught much. Now we go to Isaiah 55 and verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and returns not thither, but waters the earth and maketh it forth to bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God is the giver of his word. You are the sower of his word. Where you sow his word, you speak it, it becomes into existence. But you have to do it. Just as the rain comes down and the snow and waters the earth, causing the earth to bring forth food and bread to the eater and food for the other part, then that's what God's word does. It causes us to bring forth whatever we speak. You have to learn to speak God's word. When you speak God's word, and you only speak God's word, then he can accomplish his purpose. But when you speak God's word and you immediately put something to the negative, it isn't going to work, because the negative cancels out the positive. So, therefore, you must always speak what the word says and have it come to pass. 2 Corinthians 9:10. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, that's you, both ministers bread for your food and multiplies your seed sown, his word, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So there you have the key. Just as rain and snow come down from heaven, God gives you seed to sow, to bring forth your food and to bring forth whatever else you need. But who is the sower of the word? You are the sower of the word. You have to speak forth the word in abundance, and then it comes to pass. We have Luke chapter 1. Verse 31. We have the angel of the Lord coming to Mary and telling her that she's going to bear Jesus. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call him Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, Well, how shall this be, seeing that I know no man? And the angel answered her and said, The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she also conceived a son in her old age, and this was the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Mary received the angel of God's word, that it was God's word that he was speaking. God said, You shall have a son, you shall call his name Jesus. Mary said, So be it unto me according to your word. Whatever your word says, I receive it. Mary became pregnant at that time because she received the word of God. She received it into her natural body, and it became a living thing. So Mary became pregnant before she even got together with Joseph. But Mary received the word of God. Is that what you do? Do you receive the word of God into your spirit? And is God's word life to you? Is it health to you? Is it truth to all your bones? Is it whatever God says? Or is it, well, I don't know what God, you know, I don't know what God's word says. Learn what God's word says, because there is the truth of your life. You are today whatever you confessed yesterday. Now you stop and think about that for a minute. What did you confess yesterday and the yesterdays before that? Oh, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know if I'll succeed at this. You always talk failure, you're going to reap failure. But you need to put forth the word of God. See yourself the way God sees you. How does God see you? He sees you prosperous. He sees you blessed. He sees you whole. He sees everything about you that's good and perfect. God doesn't see the negative in us. God always looks for the positive. And so that's what you must begin to do, is see the positive. See yourself the way God sees you. And don't let anything contrary come out of your mouth. Because when you do, you're canceling the positive. John 7:42. Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? God's word said he was going to be born in Bethlehem. He was born in Bethlehem. Everything that happened in Jesus' life happened according to plan. But Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Because God is a spirit, Jesus only spoke the word of God. Did you ever notice when you're reading the Gospels that Jesus never spoke the problem? He always spoke the answer. That's how we get anywhere with God, is speaking the answer. What about if you don't believe God for your healing? You're never going to be healed. God can only give you what you can believe for. There are people that say, oh, I'm not going in the first load on the rapture. I'm not going to the middle. They won't be going on the first load then, because they're not believing that. There are three beliefs in the rapture. There's pre-rapture, there's post-rapture, mid-rapture, and post-rapture. Those who believe they are going in the first load are going to go on the first load. But those who are believing, well, I'm not going to go until the third load, they may not go until the third load, or they may not get there at all. Because the Bible says will not be exposed to God's wrath. What does that mean? It means that the three final judgments in Revelation are the wrath of God, the culmination of the fury of God built up to come upon the earth of those who don't believe. So if you don't believe you're going in the first load, you don't believe you're going in the second load, you're not going to make the third load, because that's not where it's at. So we have 2 Corinthians 4:18. No, I'm sorry. Romans 4:17. And I believe we said Romans 4:17 before. But that is God says it, and whatever God wants to accomplish, he accomplishes in these ways. Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations before him who he hath believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. God always calls things the way they should be, not the way they are. Do not call things the way they are. If you have sickness in your body, you do not call it that way, because that will mean you have it. You call it as if you're already healed. I'm healed. That's what you believe. The second way is 1 Corinthians 1, verses 27 and 28. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things which are. So, God uses the base things of the world. What does the world hate? The world hates the word, because the word is spirit, and the world is natural. So, God chooses those things in the spirit to speak them in the spirit, to cause those things which are not to become nothing, and the things which are to be canceled out and made of no effect. Then we have 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. God's words are eternal. So he can take that temporary situation that you are in, and by speaking his word, you can turn it around to that which is eternal. His word is always eternal. His word is always going to come to pass. God and his word are one. It is his will that you be healed. It is his will that you prosper. It is his will that none be lost. But are some going to be lost? Definitely. They're going to be lost because they don't believe. Because if the enemy had kept them from if the enemy can keep them from believing, the enemy wins. That's why you cannot let yourself ever look at things and say, well, I'm in this situation now, it can't change. It can change if you use the word. The word takes the temporary things and changes them around so that they become nothing. So your temporary situation is not your eternal situation. Your temporary situation is temporary, exactly that. It's going to pass away if you believe that. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Don't call things the way they are. Call them the way the word sees them. Call them, you see that. Right? Praise the Lord. Romans 16:25. Now to him that is of power to establish you. Who's he that is in power to establish you? God is in power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Now God is using his prophets to make the word come to pass. It's being known. It's being made known. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 8. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8. This is Paul writing about he and his men that were in Asia. For we would not have you, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead, who delivered us from greater death, and does deliver in whom we trust, and he will yet deliver us. God did, he does, and he will, if you believe in him. But you have to believe in him. Belief comes in your heart. Out of the heart, the abundance of the mouth speaks. So, therefore, Paul is saying here, we were overcome by all these things that overtook us in Asia. We had this and this and this and this, and we were ready to give up. We were ready to say, God, just take us home. And then the answer came. The answer is in within us. We're in it, in our hearts. And we spoke. It's God's word that they spoke that got them out of the problems in Asia. God did deliver. He does deliver, past, present. He will deliver, future. God will always do what his word says. He and his word are one. Romans 16, 25. We did that. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. You know, you walk in the footsteps of Jesus. You walk in the footsteps of Jesus. How is the world going to know anything about the Bible unless they hear it from us? But we can't be speaking one way and then turn around and speak another way. We have to always speak what the Word of God says. So Colossians 2, 1:10. That we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. As you are walking with God, you are going to increase in the knowledge that you have of him. As you increase in the knowledge of him, you know more about him and you can say more about him. But when you first start walking with God, you are ignorant. You're saved and that's all you know is salvation. But with the heart, man believes, and that's what he's saved with. So when you first believe that God saves, you don't realize all the depth that there is to learn about the Word of God. But as you go on with God, you learn and you learn and you learn and you learn and you speak what you learn, and it drops down into your heart. What's the middle word of heart? E-A-R. What you hear with your spiritual ear and you see with your spiritual eyes is going to drop down into your heart where it comes out of your mouth in abundance. So it's an ongoing thing. You hear with your ears, you see with your eyes, it drops down into your spirit and you speak it out your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Turn to Proverbs 4. Verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Listen closely, he's saying. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let my words not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. God's words are life and health. Health to your flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from you a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from you. A froward mouth speaks contrary to the word. Don't let your mouth speak contrary to the word. And perverse lips will speak opposite what the word says. So what is God saying here? Keep my words in your ears. Keep them in your eyes. Let them come out of your mouth, because my word is life and health to you. Colossians 1:10. that you might all work worthy, walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And when you do that, you will walk as Jesus walked. Colossians 2, verses 9 and 10. For in him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, in Christ's body dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. The love of the Father, the love of Jesus, the love of the Holy Spirit. And read verse 10. And you are complete in Christ, in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So you are complete in him, who is the author and finisher of our faith. He is everything. But if he isn't everything to you, you won't be speaking it out of your mouth. You have to speak it out of your mouth. Isaiah 44, 28. No, that isn't the right scripture. Isaiah 43, 25. I am he, this is God talking, that blots out thy transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. This is God talking to every born again Christian. God blots out your transgressions. Your transgressions are against him for his own sake, and he will not remember your sins. He will take them away, and he will not remember them ever again. And in verse Isaiah 45, verse 18, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, created it, not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Do you think you have problems that nobody else has? Everybody has problems. It doesn't matter whether you're first starting out with the Lord, you're in the middle with the Lord, or you're at the end with the Lord. Everybody has problems, but there is a way out of that problem. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There has no temptation or trouble or trial taken you, but such as is common to man. Somebody else is going through exactly what you're going through when you're going through it. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you, that means allow you to be tempted above what more than you are able, but will with the temptation always make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, seeing that you flee from idolatry, I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that bread. You are a part of the body of Christ. You are not the bread, you are not the blood, but you represent him here on the earth. And if you can't speak the word of God, Jesus always said, the words that I speak are my Father's words. What I do, I see my Father's do. If you cannot do what Jesus did, keep quiet. Because don't speak negative about it. only speak positive, only speak what the Word of God spoke. That's how victory comes, by speaking the Word of God. So faith, God's Word, faith in God's Word brings what you want into this life. Faith is a way of life. It's not something you, well, I'm going to try this for a while and see if it works. It's a way of life. It's speaking what you believe. It's believing what the Word says. It's speaking what the Word says and having it come to pass in your life. If you don't believe it, you're not going to speak it. If you're not going to speak it, it's not going to come. Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance. Is God's Word in your heart in abundance? You have to put it in there to have it come out. It's whatever you put into your heart, and how do you do that? You hear it with your ear, you read it with your eyes, you speak it forth. When you read the Word of God, read it quietly, but read it out loud to yourself. When you're praying, pray out loud to yourself. Always have God's Word coming out of your mouth in abundance, and then it goes back into your heart. It's a cycle. It never ends. It never ends. You keep putting it forth, it keeps coming out. The more you speak it, the more you believe it, and the more you have it. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. Think about that. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. And when you pray what God's Word says. Now I'll show you how this works. One day I was praying to the Lord, and the Lord gave me a little vision. And in that vision, I saw God on the throne. I saw Jesus on his right hand, and I saw the Holy Spirit there for the sake of the vision. So as I'm praying, God says, look to your left. And I look to my left, and there's someone praying, oh Lord, I am so sick. And I saw Jesus couldn't do anything with that. He couldn't smile. He couldn't say to the Father, do it because I paid the price, Father. He just stood there. But then I saw, and God said, look to your right. I saw myself praying in the Spirit, praying and believing God that it was going to come to pass. And I saw the beautiful smile come on Jesus' face. And he says, you have to do it, Father, because I paid the price. You see, when you didn't pray God's Word, he doesn't have to move, because the Holy Spirit only moves on the Word of God. Only moves on the Word of God, not on your words, only moves on the Word of God. And so when you pray the Word, you're praying the Word, and the Holy Spirit can move. Jesus smiled at the Father and he said, I already paid the price for that, Father, you have to do it. And so the Father said, you're right, and he did it. And there we have what comes to pass is the Word. The Word always comes to pass, but you have to bring it to pass. And if you don't bring it to pass, nobody else is going to. You have to always speak the Word. Now, I don't know if any of you have any questions to ask, but I think, let's see. We walk by faith, 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith, not by sight. Not what you see that matters, it's what the Word says about a situation. The woman with the issue of blood in Mark 5:22. She said to herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Don't you think when that woman came out of her house, she was not supposed to be out in public because she had an issue of blood? And when she saw Jesus walking down the street, she thought, I'll just touch the hem of his garment. But then she looked around, and who was walking with Jairus? The head of the temple. The man who could have had her ostracized or whatever. Don't you think that the woman hesitated a minute and thought, I can't do that. I can't go forth. I can't go forth because if I go, Jairus is going to see me. He's going to take me, put me in prison or whatever. because I'm not supposed to be out here. When a woman had the issue of blood, she was not to be in contact with anybody else. She was to be in her own house. She couldn't sit on a chair that anybody else sat in. She couldn't eat with other people. She couldn't do anything. She was totally ostracized. Now here is this woman who has this condition, and you know she had it because when Jesus healed her, she reached out, she touched the hem of his garment, and she was made whole instantly. She stopped, and Jesus stopped, and he said, "Who touched me?" He turned around, and the woman said, "I did. I touched you." And so she goes on, and she tells him her story. "For 12 years, I've had this condition. I've dealt with doctor after doctor after doctor, and nobody could help me. I got worse. I'm facing death. But I knew, Jesus, if I just reached out and touched the hem of your garment, I would be made whole." And so she was. There is a difference between being healed and being made whole. Healed is you are healed of your condition. Whole is you, all your organs are restored as if you never had it in the first place. So the woman was made whole because she believed Jesus. Now at the same instant, Jairus, who said to Jesus, "Please come and pray with my daughter because my daughter lies at the point of death, and if you come, I know she'll be healed." His faith is speaking. He didn't believe in Jesus. He believed in as much as he heard, but he was a ruler of the temple. And so as he said to Jesus, then when the woman stopped Jesus and she got through her testimony, the workers of Jairus came through the crowd and they said, "Don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter's dead." The first thing Jesus spoke was, "Don't be afraid, only believe." You can't have faith and unbelief in the same place. Unbelief will rob you of your faith. So the woman heard Jairus heard the woman's testimony, and then Jesus went with him to Jairus' house. They go in the house, and the daughter's laying on her bed, and all the relatives are there. They're moaning and groaning and whining, crying, "Oh, she's dead, she's dead." Jesus says, "She isn't dead, she's only asleep." And they laughed. "What do you know? You weren't even here, Jesus. We were here. We saw her die. She's dead. D-E-A-D, dead." So Jesus put them all out of the house. He took Peter, James, and John, and he went into the room. And when he went into the room, he touched the little girl's hand, and he said, "Little girl, arise." The little girl was 12. She got up out of bed, and she demanded she had something to eat. That's the power of the Word of God. You have that power. You have to speak as if you have that power. Know that you have that power because it's yours. The word is seed. Seed, what do you do with seed? A farmer plants a seed. When he plants a seed, does he see one seed and one seed and one seed and one seed? No. He sees a whole field. What do you think God saw when he saw an apple seed? He didn't see one apple. He didn't see one tree. He saw a whole forest of trees from that time until the rapture growing apples. That's what you have to see. Your word accomplishes and prospers what God sends it to prosper. It's not going to prosper what you want. It'll prosper what he wants. That's why you speak his word. You always speak the word of God, and God will bring it into existence. Dead faith is worse than no faith at all. Faith without works is dead. Faith must work. Faith has to produce. It is seed. Seed produces. They have found seed in tombs, in the pyramids that they've planted, and those seeds grow. It doesn't matter how many thousands of years they're dead, they grow when they're put into the ground. Seed is supposed to grow. Now, the seed, when it's planted, breaks open the husk, And inside the seed doesn't come up what you look at. Because if you saw a seed, when you planted a seed, that's what you would think you would see. The seed breaks open the husk, and the root grows down into the ground. The root grows down into the ground so that it has a firm setting. Now then, after the root grows down, it begins to grow up. And as it begins to grow up, you get first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. And that's the seed that you see. The seed that you see isn't a seed of corn that you plant. It's the husk, it's the corn, it's the cob of seed that you see. But that seed isn't what you planted. The seed is in the ground producing the new corn. Now, I took seed one time, and I planted it into, I counted all the kernels of corn on a cob. And I counted all the seeds in an apple. And I counted a couple other seeds, and I kept track of them. I didn't bring it today, but that one seed of corn will produce at least four corn cobs. And on each cob is over 1,000 cob kernels of corn. So from one seed, I got four times what that seed was going to produce. That's just one seed. Imagine that when you plant the seed of God's word, the seed is the seed that is given to you. It's the same amount is given to you as is given to you. But what you do with it and how you believe it accounts for it to become possible. So you are the producer of the seed of your life. What are you producing in your life? Are you producing victory? Are you producing healing? Are you producing prosperity? Or are you saying, oh, I'm so poor. Oh, I'm... No, you say what the word says, and it becomes what God's word says. So there I have my teaching on faith. Does anybody have any questions? No questions?
We always be God's word, but we're talking to somebody. In some ways, it's how do you feel, and you say, by his stripes I am healed.
Uh-huh.
I understand there's a difference in the facts, and there's a difference in truth.
Right.
Okay. Because facts can change, but God's word is true, and it never changes.
That's right. God's word is the truth.
So, sometimes, it's like if I go to my doctor, and the doctor gives me a negative report, I don't say anything to her. You know, I just try to not to bite off my tongue.
Right.
Because, I'm saying to myself, by his stripes I am healed.
Right.
You know, even if she says, well, you know, it doesn't look good, or whatever it is, I still have to learn to keep my mouth shut and to only say the word.
Right.
And that's kind of tricky sometimes.
That's right.
Because you have to remind yourself that you only speak the word about the situation, because you can end up aborting what you're believing in. And I think that's why sometimes it takes a long time for you to receive what you're trying to receive from God.
Right. It's a very difficult thing. And a lot of times when people come up for prayer and we'll pray for people for healing, then they go back into the congregation and somebody will say, how do you feel? Mm-hmm. Taking the prayer that they just heard right out. And so they're either going to go by what they feel or go by what the word says. The word is fact. How you feel is what you see or what you hear or your temporary position, which is temporary. It's exactly that. But it's the word that is the truth. So when you ask people, well, how do you feel? I'm healed in the name of Jesus. You're speaking the word. You're not speaking anything but what you believe. That's what you believe, and that's what you speak. Anybody else have a question?
So it's almost like we were studying in the one church. It's like under Danny. It's whose report will you believe this day? Will you believe God's report, or will you believe man's report? because in 92 I was diagnosed with tuberculosis and pneumonia. It's a double whammy. It's TB and pneumonia hit together. It literally knocked my lungs out. It almost killed me. And before it was caught, I had been through, I was almost like the woman with the issue of blood. I had been through 8 different doctors, and I thought doctors were quacko, okay? Because every time they would say something, it's just like, I didn't want to believe anything they said. But every time I go to the doctor's office, I kept carrying my sword with me. And they didn't understand. And when he diagnosed me with that, I said to him, I said to the one doctor, Dr. Brian White of Portage County, I said, you don't understand. My God's going to heal me. You don't understand. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Whether I'm here or not, the word will go forth.
That's right.
And he didn't believe in God at the time. God totally restored my lungs and put them back like nothing happened. The only thing that's there is the scars. The scars of where we've been, not the future. They're just to remind you of the thorn in the side, to remind you that God's in control. No matter where our journey's at or where he's taken us, he's in control, not us.
Right.
And that's the hard thing for me, is knowing that God's in control and not Janine. Janine needs to take a back seat. Let the driver be God.
Uh-huh.
And it's hard. Like our sister said, it's very hard. But if we believe in God and know that God is in control, all things are possible.
That's right.
It's believing in something that's not there, but you know that God loves us. He didn't bring us here to drop us off the mountain and say, why? He's going to take us through it.
Right. And God will always hold true to his word.
Mm-hmm.
He cannot lie.
Mm-hmm.
So he always, his word always comes to pass. It's we who hold it, really, mm-hmm. by what we say.
Mm-hmm.
So when the doctor gives an evil report, you don't discount it.
Don't claim it.
You don't claim it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for me.
Walk away and say, okay, God,
that's right.
Yours.
And I always remind God of his word, because I said, God, your word says, you know, God is not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. He hasn't lied before, so he's not going to start lying now. He's
right.
Accusation. And wait. But, and another thing that I noticed is that some people get miracles. Some people, it takes time. But I noticed in this journey that I'm going through with these breathing issues is that there's always change, and the change is always for the better,
mm-hmm.
regardless to what the report is that I get from my doctor, because I can see it in myself. I'm no longer on oxygen. I was on oxygen for 24/7 because I had RSV pneumonia, where you get from kids, and I'm never even around kids, but that's another story. But anyway, so when I came out of the hospital, I was on this, but I was on it 24 hours a day, and now I'm only on it when I get up and move. You know, I have to take a breath. But I mean, you know, it's like baby steps. It's
right.
Like crawling before you walk. So it's like I see him doing. I never know what the next step is, but I confess his word and I believe that I am healed.
Right.
As I say, it is written by his stripes, I am healed.
Mm-hmm.
And every other word that agrees with God's word. So I'm just saying, you know, some people, I might want it right away. Like I might see it happen to some people. But he deals with each of us in a different way.
That's right. I'm reminded of a church I spoke with in Pennsylvania, and I taught on the word. And so we were on our way for a lunch break, and I ended the morning session by saying, God always honors his word. So as we're going to down the hall to the lunch, and the pastor's wife is with me, and she's saying, you know, we had a situation here in this church where we had a fellow that had cancer, and the whole church was praying that he was healed, but he died. We couldn't understand it, and that's why we don't understand this. But she said to me, I said, well, how did he die? It's a matter of faith. And she said, well, the whole church was praying that he was healed. He believed he was going to die and come back to life.
Okay.
There was the answer right there. He believed he was going to die, and he did. But he didn't come back to life. But you see, the difference is, he believed one thing. He said he was saying one thing.
Right.
But you never know. A person of great faith can be on their bed at night and say, I can't do this anymore. And they're out of there. They're done. Because they've spoken in doubt. after speaking all their life of the word. So you have to speak the word and the word only.
And you got to try to not to get tired of the battle, because as long as you don't quit, you win.
Right.
You know, because sometimes, you know, I don't want to, like, quit.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm not going to say that I don't.
Right.
You know, and you just have to keep putting one foot before the other one.
Right. That's right.
How important is it that we walk in love while we are exercising our faith?
When we walk in love?
How important is that if we get out of love?
Oh, you can't get out of love.
Right.
You can't afford to be offended. Offense is something we cannot afford. Somebody does something to you, you forgive them. I forgive them, Lord. I forgive them in your love, because love is the key. Faith works by love. You step out of love and you're right in the world's in the enemy's kingdom, and he will attack, because he's there every day, 24 hours a day. Cancer works 24 hours a day, or sickness works 24 hours a day. How many times a day are you putting forth the word? You can't just put it forth one time and expect God to move. You have to keep it going. You see, there are all those little things that matter. Faith works by love. And if you dare to step out of love, the devil's got you, because that's how he moves. He doesn't love. He moves against love. Any spirit of darkness cannot overcome you if you stay in the love realm. It's when you step out of love that the enemy attacks. Any other questions?
My sisters always tell me that I have to stay constantly in prayer and worship and don't cease, but I'm having a hard time maintaining a certain level of that commitment, because I'm not used to it, and I'm trying to grow spiritually, and I'm like a baby Christian.
Uh-huh.
And I want to know the best way that I can. I know I can't really speed up the process, but I'm getting older and I'm going through a lot of things, and I don't want to keep delaying my spiritual growth until it's too late.
Uh-huh.
And so I don't know exactly what to do or how to do it.
Well, you just speak the word that you know. Take the word works. And go over a few, go in through each subject in there and ask God to show you which scriptures you should confess, and do those every day.
Okay.
That's how you grow, because your faith, your heart hears, your ears hear, and it drops down. So each time you speak, it builds it stronger and stronger. Then soon, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Okay,
and I keep telling her, speak it out loud, because you don't believe anybody else's word more than you believe your own.
Right.
So
your body responds
yourself,
to your own word more than anybody
yourself,
else.
Keep telling yourself.
Right.
No matter how long it takes. Like, tell Deborah, you're not going to, the journey is a long journey, but it's just like an elephant. You can eat it a piece at a time. Mm-hmm. So start where you are. But the main thing that I try to get to, you got to be consistent. You can say, I'm going to pray today, and I'm going to read the word works today, but then I'm not going to read it anymore till Saturday. You know, I have a routine. I get up, I read the word works, I say my prayers, I take communion every day, I buy those fellowship cups, I take communion every day, I confess the word every day, I send scriptures to other people every day. I try to do everything that I possibly can, because the enemy is coming at me in so many ways. I feel that that's what I have to do. You know, those 2 hours, I got to do that, because I know that he's really coming against me. You know, it's like he fights me to come on Tuesdays to pastor's Bible class. You know, it's an hour drive, and I have to really prepare myself. And last week I was trying to come unexpected doctor on a Tuesday. You see what I'm saying? I mean, you know, doctor, this is not my day to see you, because I go to Bible class. But you know, when they call you, then it's urgent, then you gotta go. And what I'm just saying, you know, I know that I'm getting ready to get a big blessing, because he's doing a whole lot of messing.
Yeah, right.
The word is the word, and the word will always work, but the word will only do the work for the one who uses
it.
The word works for those who use it. Amen. Anybody else? Does anybody need prayer?
I always need prayer.
Okay, we'll pray. Come on up.
Father, we come in the name of Jesus. We thank you and praise you for healing from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. We command this body to line up with the word. We command her to be every bit whole from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. We